Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is going on, everyone? Mike Singer and Tim Hyde with a Tuesday edition of the Notre Dame Football Show here on YouTube. Plot like a champion for folks listening to the audio version of the show. Well, we'll talk about the why we're doing it on a Tuesday and different day and everything. But Tim, just my friend, I always like to check in with you because when we talk, I always say we're talking business, we're talking content. But how is Tim Hyde, the father of three? How are you doing, my friend?
Oh, really good. Had a good little T-ball practice today for two kids. You know, one hit one off the wall. I think the wall's like 8 feet away, but it's all right. It's all about building confidence early on, right? But, hat went blowing off my daughter's head, so that was awesome. She stopped. I'm like, no, you keep running, sweetie. Keep running. So, you know, trying to start building those traits early, right, when they're nice and early. But here we go. Ready to rock and roll. Have a fun little Tuesday night. Talk some Irish football.
Yeah, we got some pretty good topics. May's the dog days of the year because June is super heavy recruiting, all these official visits. June's really exciting. And then July is pretty slow, but at least you have like
camp, training camp.
Yeah. Well, training camp doesn't start till August, but at least
you have the buildup.
Exactly, the buildup, the position previews, yep. Like all that. We can't do position previews right now because it's like we're just going to do it again in 2 months. Like, so you do position previews, we'll do like a game by game prediction and all that, and then, you know, Tim Hyde will do something like, well, if Notre Dame wins this game, they're going undefeated, but if they don't, they're going 6-6. You know, Tim Hyde will throw some crap out like that.
Hey, you never know.
Never
one game at a time, Mike. One game at a time.
As always, folks, let us know where you're watching from, if you're with us live or watching back. In the comments, please do let us know. We always like to see the Notre Dame national and even international fan base and where you guys are tuning in from. Hit that thumbs up, of course. Subscribe to our channel. Do all that good stuff if you haven't not done so yet. And, of course, you can sign up at blueandgold.com. It's just $29.99 to unlock premium access for 6 months. So this show is obviously usually on Wednesday nights. I have a personal thing to get to. It's really just a pleasure thing more than a personal thing that I'm attending on Wednesday night. It's a sporting event. I'm going to a sporting event. I'll just say I'm going to. And then next week, I'm going to be on a cruise and stopping in the Bahamas.
Nice.
So, I'm going to be out Monday, Friday for next week. So, really looking forward to my one big vacation of the year. So I don't know what our YouTube and podcast content will look like when I'm out, because I'm not out too often. So, but I'm sure we'll still have some stuff. So tomorrow afternoon, we're also planning to have our recruiting show because we didn't have one this past Friday. And then this upcoming Friday, I have a family matter to attend to. My brother-in-law is graduating from high school, so I'm not going to be able, and then Friday after, I'm going to be on my cruise. So I was like, we got to fit in a recruiting show. So Kyle Kelly, my coworker at Blue and Gold, who also covers recruiting, is going to make his YouTube debut for us at Blue and Gold. So myself and Kyle Kelly, we'll do a YouTube live show. We're thinking Wednesday at like 2:00, which is random. But if you can't join us live, you know, you can always, watch the YouTube replay. And for podcast audience, you know, we always like to tell you folks, get over to YouTube. You know, definitely a lot more fun there. Okay, so I will bring this up later in the show, as more people filter in here. But for folks watching back and listening to your podcast, I want to kind of give you an update on our schedule. All right, let's just go ahead and get into a super chat. Trash is here. and says, before the days of the ACC, I remember a year when every game we played was a rival in some way. Why was that? And who are Notre Dame's true rivals? Sorry for off topic. I can't imagine something that's more on topic than this, Trash.
Yeah.
It's a great comment and question. I will leave it to you, Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, I mean, God, he's going back to the old schedule. You got Purdue, Michigan State, Michigan, SC. It's like one after another. I mean, your truest rival that, which has been an interesting topic on the message board, actually about the Big Ten and does SC even need Notre Dame anymore, right? It's all about going through the playoffs. So I hope they – I mean, how many rivals, Mike, have lost, right? Texas, A&M, I mean, you name it. So many have just gone by the wayside now. So I hope SC and Notre Dame schedule this, boom, moving forward. I'm sure with the Big Ten's going to be interesting, which I hope, you know, Notre Dame and SC get together. I would love to see that just kick off game one every year, because it's probably going to be hard to do it the way they've always done it. I'm thinking just because you have the Big Ten championship game, you got USC, UCLA mixed in there at the end. I'm sure they'll keep that. So that's going to be interesting, how they move that. And then obviously Michigan State's a huge rival in the history of Notre Dame. You just start thinking of the trophy games, so many trophy games that they have. That'd be a biggie. Michigan, just the pure hate. It is. I mean, that's your, natural enemy. There's a great book out there for anyone's never read it. Came out 10, 15 years ago, Natural Rivalry, about the history of Michigan and Notre Dame. Great book. I would love. I'm a huge Notre Dame Michigan guy. I love that game. I love watching that game. I would love to see that thing back on. Michigan State, just because of some iconic football games in there. So, I mean, who else are people thinking about? I mean, those are the main ones. Obviously, Navy's Navy, but that's really not a rivalry. That's just something they play. It's really, as far as true rival, Purdue, they never play Purdue again. I wouldn't worry about it, even though they're in state. But I would say those are the biggies. When you go SC, Michigan State, and obviously Michigan.
If I have a knock on Notre Dame, and it's not even so much a knock about Notre Dame, it's kind of just an unfortunate thing, and I hope this is not a controversial thing, is let me give you a little metaphor. I love throwing metaphors. The best man at my wedding, right? I had him as my best man. When he gets married, I expect to be his best man, right? I think that's just kind of a natural thing. For Notre Dame, if the Notre Dame fans hate Michigan the most, but Michigan doesn't hate Notre Dame the most, they hate Ohio State. Like, is there a team that, like that true rivalry where they just hate each other the most? I don't know that exists. Like this comment here, I wonder if SC considers Notre Dame their biggest rival.
I'm born and raised in,
that's the one that makes the most sense, because Michigan has Ohio State, Navy. Yeah, Michigan State has Michigan. USC has UCLA.
That game, I've been to many of those games, the SC-UCLA games. They're only a couple miles apart from each other. So that game it's the Battle of Los Angeles. So it's obviously massive, when they get together. And you always hear about the cross-country rivalry, SC-Notre Dame. It is real. Yeah. I have many, many USC alums.
Yeah.
Some friends that have coached there. I got a friend who's on the staff right now, a close friend I've coached with. So it is real. Notre Dame and SC is a true rivalry. Yeah. I don't want to say the hatred as you think the Iron Bowl, or that's all they talk about forever. You could go 3 months and no one talks about SC, Notre Dame game, but it is huge because both sides know the history and they know whatever happens in that game, it's going to be written about, and how many Heisman moments have happened in that game over the years. It means a lot to USC, the Notre Dame game.
Yeah, Brother Ray says Navy's true rivals, Army. Pitt is a rivalry. I think this is also a special thing about Notre Dame, is they do have so many rivalries. Maybe they don't have that true, best man rivalry, to my metaphor, but there are so many.
I like the Pitt. I mean, Pitt, So another thing, they underrated. Played many, many games.
And, yeah.
You know, great, you know, Notre Dame, obviously big recruiting base, you know, when there's players in that area they go after. So, yeah.
What about Miami?
It's not really a rivalry. That was just Notre, people don't realize Notre Dame blanketed Miami for like two decades, just blew them off the field. You go back and look at so many of the scores. Arrow was never nice to those guys, just destroyed them. But then obviously that turned in the 80s. Those games in the 80s, man, you go that the ending of the 85 game, you know, when Jimmy Johnson ran it up on Jerry Faust, and then 87 was a top 10 matchup. Miami shut out Notre Dame, and obviously the iconic 88 game. 89 was the battle, and then 90 ended it all. 90 is actually my favorite game. I love that game. That was a biggie. Number two, Miami came into South Bend, and Notre Dame beat them. But for that period, those four-year period, ooh, man. Many games of IC Notre Dame games, those 4 years would have to be probably number one, I would think, when you look at a true hatred of a team for a small window of time, it would have to be those late 80s.
All right, Trash, appreciate the super chat that just got us on like a 6-minute tangent. Yeah, we're 10, almost 11 minutes into the show, and we have talked about zero things. But hey, this is why Tim and I was always be like, hey, we both got things. Let's do a shorter show, and then an hour 15 later. That's always how it goes for us. But I love it. We really do appreciate super chat.
And real quick, you know, like David Solomon talking. You know, yeah, I love talking. You know, Clemson's an hour ACC, but they don't play after this year. They don't play until 28. I think
really. You know,
I want to say 2028 because I was looking at some forward schedules. You know, I could be wrong because they have Florida State, Miami, a bunch coming up here in the next few years. I don't think they play Clemson until 28.
The crack staff looking at that. So obviously 2023 at Clemson, November 4th. Yep. The next time at Clemson, 2027.
It is 27.
And then home 2028. Gotcha. And then at Clemson 2031. Home 2034. At 2037. So
yeah. So it's really
spread out. Now we're talking about 14 years down the road. Yeah, so who knows what it looks like then.
It's great games. Hopefully this year is another great one. I mean, they've played some really, really good football games, obviously. So. Nice little battle, you know, in this little period, I would say as well, you know, since Notre Dame's playing the ACC a bunch.
All right, before we get into our next topic, let's hear from our sponsors over at My Perfect Franchise. And if you are a displaced corporate executive, or if you're wanting to put your career in your own hands, maybe you're an experienced entrepreneur wanting to diversify, well, Andy Ludicky can help. Andy is a huge college sports fan and a franchise veteran, having owned multiple franchises and businesses. Using his expertise, he helps find others their American dream through a very thorough consultation and evaluation process. Call Andy, put your life and career in your hands. And best of all, his services are 100% free. So what do you have to lose? Find your perfect franchise at myperfectfranchise.net. All right, Tim. Notre Dame picked up a commitment Monday morning, kind of out of the blue. Just in terms of so many of these commitments have the big announcement on YouTube or the, you know, you have the ceremony with the hat trick and all that. No, Bodie Cahoon just a Monday morning at, I believe it was 7 a.m. Bodie just tweets out, I am committing to Notre Dame. So ranked as the nation's number 431 overall player, that's a 3-star right now. But for on threes industry ranking, how that works is the longer this class goes on, the more 4-stars they basically add. So I think it ends up being up to 454 star. So essentially, if that national ranking holds, it ends up being a 4-star. That's how that works. Number 45 linebacker in the country. Rivals personally, has them ranked as a 4-star prospect. I think that's notable. Number 26 linebacker in America. Picked the Irish over Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Tennessee, and a handful of others. Was a former Ohio State lacrosse commit as well. So Tim, also had Miami, Florida State, pretty strong offer list. What was your reaction to seeing this commitment? What do you think about this player?
Well, my first reaction is, where's the Singer text to let me know what's going on? I was like, is this real?
Hey, man.
Even you got on the message.
7 a.m. on Monday. I was not awake when that happened.
You got on like, I did not know this was happening. So yeah, I mean, this,
or you know, to some extent, yeah. But
continue. No, I hear you. But no, it was. I mean, it was very surprising because you guys. I think Kyle had just done an article a week ago talking about his four visits, and he's got four visits set up one after another coming here in June. And I've been making, you know, prepping for the June and writing him down and all. So when he committed, I was like, oh, whoa. But then started doing a little bit of, you know, a little math and whatnot. He sees, you know, what Rezek commit, spots start to fill up a little bit, right? Maybe this is, he's originally from Indiana, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Zionsville outside was at Indianapolis area, I believe. So I bet he just said, you know what? I can't pass this up. When he started thinking about it, because he's obviously visiting and whatnot. He's a good football player. He's a good, solid, you know, three-star. He I mean, that's what I truly think he is. He's a good football player. He's outstanding lacrosse player. I've seen some lacrosse film on him. Unbelievable. I've coached a few Mike backers that are lacrosse guys, and he looks just like a couple guys I've been lucky enough to coach. So he's got some really good skills. You know what, Mike? I've been a broken record talking about linebackers. So many of these guys are Mike Will Viper. I mean, that's kind of almost how they're all rolling into place.
Burnham, Tui Halamaka.
Yes. Bunch of these guys are, you know, can play out there in a pinch if they need to. And I, you know, it's almost like Cole Mullins in a way. I think Cole's going to eventually be a true guy with his hand in the dirt playing every single snap as a 3-point stance. But a lot of these guys are these hybrid, you could mix and match, move them around. And I think Cajon is the same type of a body, you know, when you look in there. So really good athlete, obviously lacrosse player, going to play Ohio State, which is a nationally ranked team each and every year. So he brings some good skills, and we'll see where he's going to end up. I mean, that's the way I look at it. In probably 2 years, I think, when you start to look at these guys, he's not a ready-made guy. I don't see him playing in 2024, especially how they've recruited the last couple of years. So let him redshirt, see what he does his sophomore spring. And is he going to be a Mike, a Will, or a Viper? He's going to be one of those three.
Yeah. So responding to a couple of your points you made, your analysis on his recruiting process, he locked in the officials and it's like, man, I know where I'm going to go. That's essentially what happened. He told me that he called up Al Golden Thursday night and then talked to Freeman and Max Bulla as well. So Tim, that was a two minute highlight tape, right? Do you want to know, like, man, why 2 minute? He told me he played linebacker in 5 games. He's only played 5 games of linebacker. He told me he was a safety to start the year. Then he had a notable hand injury. I want to say it was his hand, he told me. And then when he came back, I guess the team just kind of needed him as a linebacker. So he's very raw.
Yes.
And I think that's part of the reason why, like, I don't think he's,
can see it.
Yeah. He's not a safety at the next level, obviously. So then the linebacker film gets out there. He didn't pick up his first offer. I want to say it was from Virginia Tech in January. He's a lacrosse commit for Ohio State. And then all of these offers he's picked up are all since January. Again, Notre Dame, Virginia Tech, North Carolina, Tennessee, Virginia, NC State, Duke, Utah, FSU, Louisville, Cincinnati, Miami, Stanford, Indiana, West Virginia, and then a handful of group of five schools. I mean, this kid's no slouch. And here's the thing that, folks, listen, I know you are tired of hearing about three stars. And I'm going to tell you, I don't really care. And the Notre Dame doesn't either, nor should they. They're going to go after the guys they want to go after. Stars be damned. I mean, sure. Would they prefer that Bodie Cajon is ranked a 5-star? Sure. Yeah, that'd be great. But they're not going to go after a 5-star kid that they don't think is very good in favor of a 3-star guy who they absolutely love. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, taking all these 3-star guys is, you know, going to win you a national championship. But what I'm saying is it's very narrow-minded to just look at the ranking and learn about the kid for about 3.5 seconds and then form your opinion. It's all about data points, as we talked about last week, Tim. Let's not jump to so many conclusions. Let's just see. You play the damn game. You play to win the game. We're not talking about practice. We're talking about a game.
True. But I will, if he does, you know, and if he does stay a 3-star, let's just say he stays a 3-star. I've gone back the last 10 years, about a third is that loose emoji with three stars. Roughly, it's really less than a third truly make it, which is fascinating, which goes back
to it as like a big time player.
Yeah, Notre Dame. Yeah,
so that sounds fun.
Exactly. As someone who's playing and whatnot, who's, a starter, whatever. But it's like, I mean, Notre Dame, one of the posters posted on the message board asking about unranked three or unranked four stars and the high threes. Those guys rank like a Bodie, 400 to 500, let's say. And then those unranked guys, basically 300 to 400 is what the metric is using. And Notre Dame, Mike, has had nine captains, which is fascinating, out of that group. Just between number 301 and 500, Notre Dame's had nine captains just in the last, about 7 years, seven, 8 years, which is pretty, pretty awesome. So they are getting some good guys. I mean, obviously you got Drew White, you got Greer Martini, JD Bertrand. I would not be surprised if Bodie Calhoun, after a whole year, more film and all that, I bet he ends up being between 350, 375. I'm going to be surprised if he moves up a little bit into that range, a top 350 player. Because he does run to the ball and has some really good skill. And if he ends up being in that range, you got a JD Bertrand type of football player on his film, and the athleticism that he has.
Or he ends up, I'm trying to think, that linebacker who went number one out of Georgia, first round pick, or he ends up as a five-star caliber kid, or he ends up as a total bust. I don't know. I just don't like the – Let's just jump to conclusions. I just don't like it.
And I think, and this is what, people, the Rezic kid out of Nebraska, at least for me, that guy could run. No matter what it is, at least I got a guy who's tall and could run. So they'll figure that out. And I think in this day and age, Mike, is at least someone for me who's seen a lot of Notre Dame recruit classes, it's almost like, all right, take a deep breath. You're going to get some Bodie Calhouns. You're going to get, like you're saying, some raw guys who only played a little bit, but is a high-end lacrosse player. No, I mean, you're going to be signing 25, 27, 28 guys probably every single year moving forward.
Yeah.
And if there's three or four Teddy Rezics, Bodie Calhouns, so be it, because they could run. He's not slow. He's not a stick in the mud. That's why – when you hear that buzzword, the versatility, he's going to play one of those Marcus Freeman 3-3 hybrids, meaning Mike Will Viper. The Rover, as far as I'm concerned, Rover is a strong safety moving forward. That's just another strong safety type of a body. So, I think Bodie Calhoun, Rezic, some good athletes that could run. Now they got to close and go after a couple of these top ranked linebackers that they're still on.
Yeah, Roquan Smith, who I was thinking of, who the Bears picked a few years back. He was just Buckus Warbiner's outstanding. But you can't take all projects, for sure. We know that. Like, Bodie Calhoun was a lacrosse guy. And then you go to, a Teddy Rezac. Oh, he was a safety. And, look at this projection. He's like, we get – that you can only take so many of the projects, like these boomer bust type guys. You also have to land your Kingston Viliamuasa, the big time backer out of St. John Bosco. You got to get the Justin Scott, but I just think a lot of people are looking at this class and be like, why is Notre Dame taking all these three-star guys when they're freaking about, I don't know. People are telling me CJ Carr is the best quarterback Notre Dame's got since Clausen. Notre Dame hasn't had the elite quarterback since Clausen, but hey, that still be pretty darn good, right? You tell me CJ Carr's this, a five-star talent. Cam Williams, pretty darn good. I mean, they have some really good players in this class. So it's not just all these projects in this group, but yeah, you do need to get, your Justin Scotts, your Viliamuasa, your maybe flip a Caleb Beasley. Can you go get the big tight end out of Nebraska? Like, you need to get, all these guys. But
no, you're right, and that's why I think. Well, I mean, where are they at, Mike? 16?
Six. So, let's 16, take a look at it. Yeah.
16 guys, which is like crazy before official visit season hits. So you got 20, low 20s of officials coming of guys that aren't committed. So
For now, that number will always grow. Okay, I just reported on a new one tonight, Sam, to add to the like 5 months before we got
on
here.
The message board. So let's just say they get 10. I mean, let's say they got 25 more guys coming that are uncommitted. You're telling me Notre Dame can't get 10 out of those 25? All of a sudden, your class is 26. And that's why I think it's gonna be this type of thing moving forward. So, the project term is, that the two corners could play. Those guys can run. They're tall and long. The wide receivers, I know you and I have arm wrestled over that. No matter where they got their offers and whatnot, they still could run. They're not a bunch of, 5'6" slow guys. They're tall and could run.
But this isn't your favorite. 56% is a little low for you. But, it's 16 commits. They got a ways to go. And
They got a ways to go. And I like the fact that the last two classes have been in that elite standard of 70. And moving forward, Notre Dame's got it. It's going back to what you just said, 45 seconds ago. You got to get some of these big guys. You got to get that thing up into that 65 to 75 range for Notre Dame to have a shot moving forward in these playoffs.
And as well as Notre Dame has to hit on the Joe Alts of the world. Because I just don't think that Notre Dame is going to be able to recruit with the horses of Georgia or Alabama, just in terms of the stars and the big time guys. They have to have guys like Joe Alt hit or Audrey Guestime, who was going to Michigan State without a ton of fanfare and flip him. They have to continue. You're Ben Morrison, who had some big time offers, but he wasn't some five star, right?
It's funny you say it, because I was, someone on the message board was asking. So I just, you throw out a few tests, Mike, throw in a video, and you do some research there while the kids are working at school. And the last 2 years, the lowest ranked four stars, so long, the quote unquote unranked four star, has been Joe Alt and Ben Morrison. So that's like fascinating. Like, oh, wow, you got the lowest ranked guy, and they're the ones that are hitting. Before that, you had obviously MTA hitting, who's been a heck of a football player. JD Bertrand is the starting Mike, was in that unranked, like you're saying, those low four stars that they are hitting on. I mean, once again, JD Bertrand got offered, didn't even have a spot on the roster. He's going to be a two-time captain and a three-year starting Mike backer. So, that's pretty impressive when you hit, like you're saying, hit on some of those guys that are so-called fillers in a class, if you want to say that. With some of these bodies. I mean, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, the same boat. He's in that same Joe Alt, Ben Morrison type of a category in his rankings.
All right, so let's move along with the show. Tim, you got to love middle of May talking bowl projections. Yeah, I mean, I think they're the most ridiculous thing to do, 3 weeks before the season ends. But here we are in May, and we're not so much talking here about the validity of the bowl projections. It's more of, if this comes to fruition, what do you think? So this is in a report from Tyler Horka, and he is talking about a story from Brett McMurphy from the Action Network. Going to read Horka's article. Formerly known as the Outback Bowl, the Relia Quest Bowl. Pause. I grew up going to the Outback Bowl. What the heck? How? This should not be allowed. These sponsors, it should be that's it. Like, what if you change? What are you going to change the Rose Bowl? You're going to start calling it the Walmart Bowl? Like, no. Some of these things you just can't change. Yeah. The Outback Bowl is bigger than the Outback Steakhouse. It's the Outback Bowl. I digress. All right, formerly known as the Outback Bowl, the Relia Quest Bowl isn't exactly a top-tier destination. It can feature two ranked teams squaring off, but generally doesn't. This has happened once in the game's last six matchups. Number 16, Minnesota defeated number 19, Auburn, 31-24, and Notre Dame 2020. Notre Dame's never played in this bowl. Okay. Notre Dame, McMurphy has Notre Dame playing in this bowl game against Texas A&M. And then, for folks watching on YouTube, I'm not going to read this off for podcast. You can see his other... for the playoff games and the big New Year's Six and all that stuff. You can see that. But Tim, if Notre Dame is playing in the Texas A&M, that would probably have the Irish at what, like a 9-3 or 10-2?
Oh no, not the out. I mean, not the Outback, right? If they're 10-2, now you're looking at a New Year's Six. So if they're 10-2,
you think they get New Year's Six at 10-2?
Well, of course, I would think, because that means you're going to beat one of Ohio State, Clemson, USC. You're going to beat one of those two, or one of those three, excuse me. So you beat, heck, they may beat two of them and lose to Duke, as people keep hyping up Duke and this quarterback. So 10-2, I mean, 10-2 last year, the year, New Year's Six. So they'll be in a New Year's Six, I believe, at 10-2, because they will have a marquee win on their resume. So if you're going to this bowl, Mike, they're 8-4. Because the pecking order, I mean, someone correct me if I'm wrong, please. The pecking order is Citrus Bowl and then the Gator Bowl, which they were in last year, when you go with the, ACC and things of that nature. How, I remember all those articles Patrick Engel and Tyler Horker kept throwing out last year, all these pecking orders and all that stuff. So if they're playing in this bowl, they're 8-4. And what a fun season that will be doing podcast.
If Notre Dame, I mean, I guess if Notre Dame goes anything but undefeated, you and Goolsby are just going to be insufferable to work with.
So, 8-4.
Well, should have kept Buckner.
Oh God, how much fun would that be? How much? What will that be if they're 8-4 with Drew Pine and Buckner went 0-2 and 8-4 with Hartman? I don't think it's going to happen. I mean, I don't see them going 8-4. But
what do you see them going?
Well, if they beat Ohio State, Mike.
Tim, you're the best.
Man, you gotta have a two-game improvement. I'm not even counting the bowl. So you gotta go 10-2. With Sam Hartman, for bringing him in, a bunch of guys coming back, a lot of experience playing a second year DC. You gotta go 10-2. You gotta go 10-2. I mean, that'll be my
pick. If they go 10-2, let's say 11-2, win a bowl game. You think it's a successful season? If they win a New Year's Six game?
Oh my God, yeah. If you win a New Year's Six game, please.
Okay, I thought you were more national championship or bust.
Oh, it has to be. I mean, isn't that the hype though with Hartman, the Heisman and the national championship and bust? So
no, I don't think or bust. I mean, your mileage varies. It depends who you talk to. Yeah, but not for me.
Yeah, no, that's your truth. If they go 10-2, they have a two-game improvement off of last year. Once again, talking regular season. And you go to a New Year's Six and win, which they haven't done since January 1st of 94. Yeah, I think you get that monkey off the back, which they blew against Oklahoma State, for crying out loud. I still can't believe that. Oh, my God. It's like if they could somehow get that thing off their back, that'd be good. Because, once again, if you're 10-2, you beat somebody in there, right? Is it Ohio State, which is going to be a Super Bowl atmosphere? Is it Caleb Williams and SC coming to town, or do you go into Clemson and beat them? Real quick on these rankings, I know I've seen some other rankings, like people are talking about Florida State being a top 4 or 5 team. Well, Florida State still has to, there's a lot of hype about Florida State this year. Well, Florida State opens with LSU, then they have Clemson early. If Clemson beats Florida State, Clemson's going to be undefeated going into that Notre Dame game. I'm looking at their schedule. They don't have, they should just go right through everybody. So that game in Clemson is going to be a massive ball game.
Well, Wake Forest is a divisional foe for Clemson, so I know they play. And from what you always tell me about Wake Forest is they have such a darn good coach and they have such a good team. But then, they lose lost. Because of Sam Hartman at their quarterback. You know, that's what I'd always tell
them. They lost because of Sam Hartman. Talked about his stats, his performance in games, right?
Tim,
is the coach throw the ball when it's 3rd and 12 in the double coverage? Is that the coach does that?
Let's not talk about quarterbacks throwing picks, because I've got some stats for you if that's the case.
I know
it's always a debate.
I know. Just don't go there, because people will start getting into that. Yeah, it's always the coach's fault. So
it is an interesting thing, though. In the sports I follow, outside of this, I'm big into soccer.
And the coaches get blamed for sneezes.
My local team here, Atlanta United, which is what I'm doing tomorrow. I'm going to Atlanta United game. And the MLS, they have lost four straight games. And they're still like fourth in the conference. Like, they're still having a really good season. They just had a bad streak here. And it's always fire the coach. And I'm thinking to myself, like, part of this has to be on the players. But then I get to, well, the coach and the regime brought in these players. So that still falls back on them. But I just don't think it always goes back to fire people. Like, I don't know. But that's just me. I'm usually a glass half full. Goolsby calls me the eternal optimist, but.
No, yeah. I mean, but some of these rankings, like, I've seen Notre Dame ranked anywhere from, like.
Well, all right, that's the next topic. That's our next discussion. So we'll just get into that. Joel Klatt, again, it's the dog days of May. So we just think that, you know, we thank Brett McMurphy for giving us content, and Joel Klatt here. He had a top 25 list, and when I posted this on the message board, and of course Tim then says, "Hey, Mike, let's talk about this on the show." I think most people are like, "Yeah, that makes sense." Notre Dame meeting at 13, so I'll read the top 15 for folks listening via podcast. I'm going from 1 to 15: Georgia, Michigan, Ohio State, Bama, Penn State, USC, LSU, Florida State, Washington, Tennessee, Utah, Oregon. Notre Dame at 13, Clemson, and then TCU at 15. How about Oregon State at 16? Beefs. How about that? What's your reaction to this, Tim?
Play the game. I mean, seriously, it's like, I mean, I don't know. What were they, 5 last year? So what's it matter if they're 13, right? What did 5 get them? Nothing?
You wanted to talk about this, and this is your reaction?
No. Hey, I saw you post it. I was like, here's a fun little topic, Mike. I guess that's right. I mean, once again, they're probably a 10 to 15 preseason team, I would think. The top – Mike, do not let me do any research on some of these teams because it's not fair. Georgia's got a nice, cuddly schedule and another 20 NFL guys starting for them. I mean, they're out there. The Michigan, Ohio State, the Penn State, 3 in the top 5, they're all – you know, people always boohoo on Penn State. Penn State's got some guys this year. So if their quarterback comes up and rallies and whatnot, they got some dudes all over the place. So
what about Michigan at 2?
Yeah, the Michigan at 2 is, I would put, they're going to play all each other, right? Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, they all play each other. Michigan's got some dudes, a lot of experience coming back. Will they be 2? I think Ohio State's going to be number 2. I know everyone's like, oh, they got to have a new quarterback. They got guys everywhere. They do. They got to find 2 offensive tackles. Like Notre Dame's got to find 2 guards, and they got to find a quarterback everywhere else. You know, they got guys, and it's always nice to have a quarterback throwing to 5 stars. It makes a big difference. And then SC, God, I don't know the schedule off the top of my head, but I think SC's easy at the beginning. I think all their tough games are Notre Dame and later. So SC will probably be a top 5 undefeated when they come to South Bend. So you got SC and Ohio State both undefeated, top 5 coming to South Bend. You got some huge matchups. So I'll be honest, what I found, Oregon always, you know, they got obviously a quarterback return in, you know.
They're always a contender than losing games.
You know, Tennessee, obviously, are they going to be the same as last year? Who knows? Alabama, me personally, Alabama, if Alabama figures out who the heck's going to play quarterback, they got dudes everywhere. They are stacked. I mean, they're going to have Mike. They have 4 or 5 first round picks projected on defense. So they got some dudes. The biggest surprise to me was the Clemson.
Clemson.
Yeah. Too low? Yeah. Once again, I haven't studied them a lot, but they got some players all over the place. Yeah. I thought that was the surprising one. Which is them, because once again, if they have Florida State early in that first month, beat Florida State, it's going to be just like last year. They're going to be 8-0 playing Notre Dame.
As I'm continuing to look over this, one of my reactions to this, and I know the Pac-12 is going to be changing when USC and UCLA leave, which is a whole different discussion. That's just crazy. But you have UCLA at 25, Oregon State at 16. According to this, Oregon 12, Utah 11, Washington 9, USC 6. That's 6 teams in the top 25. if the Pac-12 this year can get their act together, that'd be great, because the Pac-12 has been so bad for so long. I always say this every year. I'm so disappointed in the Pac-12. They just are. They got Washington in the playoff that one year. Have they had one since? And that was like 2015 or 16. Yeah. Have they had anybody in since in the playoff?
No, because Oregon hit those couple years, the Cam Newton game, and then the when they lost to Ohio State those 2 years. SC was a pulled hamstring away from going last year. Caleb Williams doesn't pull that hamstring. They're going. You know, they were up, 21-7 on Utah. You know, yeah, I mean, they were pulled hamstring away from, or they're in last year. So,
yeah.
But hey, things happen in this crazy world.
But yeah, like I said, the Pac-12 is about to.
And SC has all, I want to say, I don't know if they have Washington. Like I said, I don't have a schedule off the top of my head, but I think it's very easy to begin. Then they go to South Bend, and then boom, SC's got like a lot of those Pac-10 teams that you just mentioned afterwards.
Okay. We got a super chat from Trash that we will get to in just a moment. But before we do, we're going to hear from our sponsors over at Rogue Shop, the husband and wife outfit, as Mr. Rogue and his wife, Char, are craft cannabis farmers who specialize in small batch sustainable plant medicine, a true holistic type of small business. They farm and grow everything themselves and do everything by hand. Their website to visit is rogueshop.com, rogushop.com. They sell everything from CBD, THC edibles, tinctures, smokables, bath salts, pain creams, topicals, vapes, candles, soaps, and more. Go check out rogueshop.com if you have issues sleeping, chronic pain, and or any anxiety or stress issues. Use the promo code blue and gold to get 10% off your order. That is just one word, no spaces, promo code blue and gold for 10% off your order. Okay. Moving along, Tim, last week we talked about, what was that theme for the show? Notre Dame versus the SEC, right? Isaiah Canyon has Bama and Georgia tracking him that Tim loves.
I saw that in your update yesterday, by the way. You used the term tracking for Notre Dame. Notre Dame is tracking some players.
Tim, you love that.
I love it. I love it. I got me
listen, fired up. I heard that Alabama and Georgia's, their interest in Canyon is not just, he's a receiver in, the state of Georgia's committed to Notre Dame. Of course, they're going to go check on him to see what's up. They are very, very interested. I'll just leave it at that. Like, an official offer has not been extended, but they really want him. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Tim. Yes.
I'm telling you, it goes back to my conspiracy theory. You get someone down there, the deep south, and Notre Dame goes trickling those toes, man. They don't care if he's the third best receiver or the 12th best receiver on their roster. They don't want to go into Notre Dame. So I think your tracking is I wouldn't be surprised if that happens, right, as you're saying, sooner or later, right? Because it sounds like a lot of Auburn's really putting the heat on, from what
Yeah, I think your conspiracy is some truth, but not a ton. I don't think
it's. Yeah, I'm not saying it's not like Cole Mullins. They don't need Cole Mullins because they got D1 guy, or they got NFL first round guys, so they don't.
But I think
some skill guys. It's like,
I think it might be that, Notre Dame's coming in our backyard. Like,
yeah,
I think it might be because of Notre Dame. Like, all right, let's take a close look at this kid. But I don't know. Just real quick, Tim, Domer guy says y'all hear Diggs to LSU.
Oh wow,
shocker, yeah. Right? I still think it was weird that he transferred. I mean, usually the guys who transfer out are doing so because they're looking for opportunities elsewhere. And Diggs had great opportunity at Notre Dame. It just feels like a lateral move to me. I don't know. Tim, do you have any reaction to that, as I just dropped my wedding ring?
Yeah, I've not been on Twitter or anything, so it's not a shock. Heck, he tried doing it when he signed. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, this is what, 18 months in the making, I guess. So, yeah, good for him. He'll go there, play 1 year, see what they do. Hopefully LSU goes, 7-5 and has a heck of a year. Maybe they'll be in the Reliant Quest Bowl at 7-5, right?
All right. And then Trash dropped another super chat. Really appreciate this. He says, fun question. Louisville retired Lamar number 8. I understand retiring numbers in basketball, but football is harder. If Notre Dame did the same, what number?
Oh, my gosh.
And who?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh, geez. Oh, I mean, who do you retire? I mean, obviously, you got to go straight to the Heisman winner.
Montana?
Right?
Can you retire Montana?
No, I mean, if you're going to do any, you go right to the guys who won the Heisman. So you go right to those guys that, that won the Heisman. You got to retire them. I mean, that's a lot. I mean, Montana obviously had success. He was an All-American. Obviously, he was a quarterback who won a national championship. So I'd probably do the Heismans and then.
But Lamar, yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, Lamar won a Heisman. So that's a no-brainer.
You're going to be retiring a lot of numbers if you're doing all your Heisman winners. So yeah, you would do Tim Brown.
What's that?
You do Tim Brown.
Oh, yeah, Heisman winner. So he's the last one. So, and then you start thinking, who didn't win a Heisman, and Steve Angeli. There we go.
Richard says Steve Angeli retires never watch it. You're damn right, Richard.
Yeah, you start probably thinking of, who's the best player from certain eras. It's Brady Quinn up there. He's a Heisman finalist, top five twice. You go, obviously, Tao.
Second,
Rocket Ismail. So you start, thinking of a few, our good friend, Mr. Chris Zorich. He would definitely be on the Notre Dame Wall of Fame.
Can we retire 41?
Yes. Most definitely for Mike Goosby, we would retire that. So, yes.
Yeah, Adam says Jerome Bettis 6. I mean, there would be a lot of contenders. Notre Dame is
Notre Dame's got such a
pretty rich history.
Yeah, but you know what? You can always put some numbers – somewhere, some retired numbers. You don't have to retire, let the guys keep wearing it, but maybe have a nice banner, a big, in the monogram room or in the locker room of these are the top 50 of all time icons, and they get their name and number on the
wall. Give me your top three Notre Dame football icons of all time. And I want you to also consider maybe their icon after leaving Notre Dame. So like that's where I'm, Joe Montana. That's why he's the first guy who came to mind for me.
Oh, the first guy who came to mind, literally the first guy who comes to mind for me is the Gipper, is George Gipp. Instantly instantly think of, he's the face of the early Notre Dame movement and the rise with the Rock.
But if you're getting three, you're putting him on there?
Paul Hornung. Obviously a Heisman winner, the amazing success he had in the NFL, longtime broadcaster, a face of Notre Dame forever. Oh God, who? Yeah, and I guess you'd go Montana, right? You go Montana if you're just going three iconic players who had an afterlife.
Yeah. I guess I'm thinking a little bit more modern and not going the black and white photos.
Well, obviously, as soon as you asked that, I initially thought of George Gipp. I just thought of the Gipp. That guy's still in the record books, crazy at Notre Dame. And, Paul Hornung obviously won a Heisman when they were 2-8, but his legacy with the Green Bay Packers, and he's iconic.
Sure.
There's some people who think he's, arguably top five greatest football player of all time because he was so many things that he did all over. Alan Page, someone wrote Alan Page. Yes, there's a great Notre Dame ambassador, Hall of Famer, college, Hall of Famer, NFL, Supreme Court Justice, a guy that's done a lot of, Notre Dame speaking as well through the years. Man, there's Notre Dame's got a nice, nice history that we can sit back and chit-chat about. But,
Yeah. My wife texted me. I guess she is either watching the show or heard me in the other room. And she said she agrees with me on the Outback Bowl.
The Outback. The Bloomin' Onion Bowl.
Stop changing these names.
Yes. There's been a handful. Like when they're doing, I'm like, what bowl is that again? Oh,
the Jimmy Kimmel Bowl or Jimmy Fallon Bowl. Come on. All right, so going back to what I was talking about earlier about last week's show is kind of that Notre Dame versus the SEC. Notre Dame got, how about this, a big dub last week.
Oh, yes.
Saturday, Antonio Carter II.
Shocking.
The Florida fan growing up, or either a dream school, I don't remember his exact quote. But from Orlando, you know, played at Rhode Island for a few years, had a really nice career there, blows up as a transfer portal prospect, and then, commits to the Fighting Irish. Tim, reaction.
Yeah, I mean, I said a week ago, if he comes to Notre Dame, this is a huge upset. Because, I mean, there was literally on our show last Wednesday, they did an article where he did an interview saying, oh, I can't wait to get to Florida. It's my dream school. You know, I'm from there, all that good stuff. I was like, oh, my God, this guy's done. He's going to go play in the SEC. What was my reasoning last week, Mike? He just spent, three, 4 years getting snowed on in Rhode Island. He doesn't want to go to South Bend. Who wants to go deal with that weather?
Different kids. Kids who are different.
Oh, I agree. And when he committed, I was like, I was stunned. I was shocked. I was very excited because I think he's a heck of a football player. He's one of those. I mean, he's very versatile. He can play corner, nickel, safety. Yeah. And he's got 2 years, which is huge, especially with we'll talk about this one night, the mess at safety, you know, so he's definitely a guy that could, play multiple positions. So very exciting. I mean, he cancels. Here he goes to Notre Dame, goes on his visit. You talk about this. And then one of the great things with On3, you could go on the message boards of other sites and someone had posted something. I was laying on the couch. I'm like, I'm going to go scroll on the LSU site. I'm like, son of a gun. They were like upset. This guy's not coming. Notre Dame, Florida, the same thing. So shock. It was a big upset and very, very awesome for Coach Freeman and the staff to get him.
There is that extra little side piece of getting him over Kelly.
I mean, he was going, correct? Wasn't he going?
Yeah, he was. And then he committed to Notre Dame while on his visit. And, you know, the other websites are talking about, you know, the LSU and the Florida sites are going to say, yeah, he's going to Notre Dame. What are we going to say? We're not going to leak that. Yeah. We had already done an interview with him. You know, I think he was still at Notre Dame when we – Tyler Horka, yeah. Helped get Horka set up with that interview with Carter. You know, what are we going to – I don't know. Maybe other Notre Dame outlets. Well, we're not going to do anything like that kind of hint at.
No, it was
– But anyways – real last thing before we wrap up the show, Tim, why is everyone talking about safety with him when he just plays corner?
I agree. All the safety, obviously, because it's just assumed they need bodies. I mean, Notre Dame's got three guys that, you got obviously DJ Brown, who's 6 year, and then you got Xavier Watch and Ramon Henderson. So, you know, you have those three. It's probably a depth thing, assuming, because they, Harper obviously didn't play, in the spring. So do they want to keep him at the nickel or is it more Clarence Lewis? But get him in here in the summer. I'm sure he's going to be in camp, start working out with the guys the first part of June. And yeah, he's an athlete. He could play. Obviously, corner's not a major need unless, to me, the big wild card is Cam Hart, who has a history of being nicked up, bruised here and there. Is Cam Hart going to survive 12 full games? Because if not, then obviously last year, what did SC do? They threw Mickey nonstop because remember Bracey and Hart were out. So this is a guy exactly what you're saying. He could probably go in and start at corner if they need a guy.
But my thing is more about just like I'm pulling up a couple other articles like from the Florida website called Safety Transfer. So it's not just Notre Dame.
It's everywhere.
It's like so that's the thing. Like, what am I missing? We're missing something. It's just
I don't know. Every snap's a corner. Every is film. Everything's a corner, corner, corner. Do they just think?
What do we say, though? Corner to safety.
Yeah.
Okay. One more thing, Tim. I'm so glad I just pulled up my tweet, my Twitter. Justin Armstrong, if you're watching this, what's up, bro? I wanted to bring this up. Okay. Have you seen this, Tim, about Deion Sanders getting a commitment on an Instagram Live?
No. Who did he get committed?
Deion Sanders is doing an Instagram Live, right? Like, we're doing a YouTube Live. Deion Sanders is doing an Instagram Live. And Aaron Butler, a 2024 recruit, comments, I want to officially announce my commitment to the University of Colorado to the world. Hashtag we comment. I've never seen a recruit commit in a comment on a social media.
Is Deion just doing something with fans and he jumps in?
I don't know. I don't know what he was doing. Okay. But then the kid gets on the Instagram show with Deion. That's not allowed, which is what Justin Tweedy said. Is this legal now, Mike Singer? I don't think so. I think Deion's playing by his own set of rules. So there's the kid. And then, all right, let me open this article.
Deion comment. Did he say hi? Exactly. So
all right. So saying, I'm quoting this article that On Three's Joe Spears, right? Saying that he didn't want to violate any recruiting rules, Sanders said that he was going to let Butler speak while Sanders celebrated in the background. Butler left shortly afterwards while Sanders and another Colorado coach continued to celebrate before ending the video. What? This is the thing with recruiting. Like, these things happen. I don't know if the NCAA has a rule on this specifically. I don't know. I don't know if they ever anticipated going live on Instagram and having a recruit join. Like, this is just weird stuff, man.
Yeah, but he sounds like he got off the thing before he wouldn't speak and whatever, and he got off of it and let him do his thing. So yeah, he was a US good football player at Calabasas, and he was a USC decommitted a long time ago, actually. Yeah. Notre Dame offered him, right?
A while.
I think Notre Dame is
They had offered him. Yeah.
Yeah, good player.
Pot of gold last year, I think. But just what a weird. All right. So I'm going to.
Deion.
I'm going to respond to Justin's tweet and say, bro, I don't know anymore.
See, look at this live tweet on YouTube, Mike. You're doing it. You're setting the standard now.
I just don't know, man. So
hold on.
With the Deion Sanders. Yeah. You had something.
Oh, I'm just reading some of the comments. I am so interested to see what this happens at Colorado. I know people. I mean, they're getting like 75 transfers. Doesn't mean every transfer is a superstar, right? So it's gonna be fascinating to see how he builds this team really within just 2-3 months.
Yeah.
You know, once they all get rolling together. So this is gonna be a work in progress.
All right, I forgot to mention this more in the middle of the show. So we are doing a recruiting show. So this replaced our Wednesday night show because I'm going to a sporting event tomorrow night. But we will have a 2:00, I believe we're going to do it Eastern time. And don't hold me to it because we might not be able to make it happen. But myself and Kyle Kelly will go live Wednesday for our recruiting show that usually is on Fridays because I have a personal thing on Friday. And then next week I am on vacation. We'll still have some YouTube content, but you won't get to see this pretty face all of next week. And then we'll be back that last week of May and first week of June, right ahead of official visits and Irish invasion and all that good stuff. So Tim Hyde and myself will have plenty of content at blueandgold.com and, our YouTube channel right here. So I will miss you guys next week, but make sure to join us for our recruiting show tomorrow or give it a replay if you're not able to join us live during your workday. But otherwise, folks, appreciate you, and we will catch you next time.